When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Gil Alexander, we get tweets. Jamie Leva, Samo bomb incoming. Have a great day, gentlemen. You too, Jamie. Scott, New York Mets 16. How much would the T-Wolves Team D drop off if you replace Gobert with Hartenstein or Gafford? Great point. None at all. Well, maybe a little bit, but none significantly, like in the case of Wembanyama leaving a game. You get the idea. By the way, there's a couple things I'm annoyed at. Can I give you a couple of grievances? One.
Air your grievances.
Yeah. By the way, we used to have the airing of grievances with Todd Wishner here. I was saying I want names about the Gobert thing. I just want the reasoning. Beyond, oh, they're the best defensive team. I'd like a better reason than that. And then two, I brought up the Doc Rivers thing earlier. The Bucks were 30-13 with Adrian Griffin as their head coach. By the way, they're 17-19 with Doc. When Adrian Griffin got fired, I sat here and I asked, what's the explanation for this? And most people gave some vague, well, you know, yeah, they're 30-13, but they know that they could be so much better if it was a different coach. And I just remember thinking, I was like, that's a nonsense explanation. That's a nonsense explanation. And we were just talking with Mike Somich off air, and Somich, you're like, you were saying that, you know, the inmates are running the asylum kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was fired because the players didn't like him. They didn't believe in his defensive philosophy, and that's the reason he had to go, even at 30-13. And it's interesting, we see Doc Rivers come in. Defense hasn't gotten any better. Like, this is an effort issue on the player's side, and you just don't have nearly as good of a defender as when you get rid of people like Jrue Holiday in the offseason. So the defense is going to slip. And the players just stopped believing in him. The most telling thing to me was the first game after he's fired, you see them all dancing on the court before the game, having a good time. It felt like they were playing or they were acting more free than they were under Griffin. So you kind of saw it coming, but look, these guys are great basketball players. That doesn't make them great front office guys. We've seen it with LeBron in certain situations. It feels like we saw it a little bit with Giannis this year. Look, you can't have the players making the decisions on coaching staff, on roster, on things like that. You want to include them, but they can't be the ones making those decisions.
You're right. It's kind of a tried and true NBA tradition. I guess it worked out for the Lakers in the early 80s when Magic and company got Paul Westhead fired and Pat Riley came in. But that's a one-off, right? Like, it just doesn't – it's not supposed to work that way. And it certainly, to this moment, hasn't worked that way. And we're talking about with Doc, you know, we're talking about who has the most pressure, the Celtics as a team or Doc Rivers as a coach. The thing with Doc is, you were right. You were like, "What if Indiana beats him in the first round?" Well, what if the Bucks are up 3-1 and then Indiana beats him? Like, Doc would have to win a championship for us not to think of Doc as Doc, right? Like, ultimately. Yeah. So,
I mean, if the problem with him is if they lose any game seven, everyone just points to his record in game sevens now.
Yeah.
So you can't even, like, if they lose in seven to the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think we'd all be like, well, that's about where their potential was. They achieved what they could. But everyone instead will say, Doc can't coach in game sevens. You got to get him out of there. Like, and he's got a 4-year contract. They could be paying four head coaches next year if they let go of Doc Rivers in the offseason.
Mike, you know what I'm going to say when they lose in like a game seven? If you said to the Celtics, I'd be like, I wonder what they could have done with Adrian Griffin as their head coach. Probably one of them gotten to the championship. You have a couple. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm going to be saying thank God that the Celtics swept the first two rounds, so I still cash my dinner bet with Gil.
I got to retweet that out today. Thank you for reminding me. The thought exercise was this. We did this a couple weeks ago.
I think we did it last week.
Well, we talked with Mike about it last week, but I think I put it out a couple weeks ago, which is Celtics over under total number of losses Eastern Conference playoffs. So right now, their first round opponent is what either is going to be, you know, one of the play-in teams, obviously, right?
It could be Miami or Philly.
Could be Miami, most likely. Could be Philly, we'll see. But also, their second round is laid out as Cleveland or Orlando if they get there, right? So that looks good. So the thought exercise was 5.5 losses Eastern Conference playoffs. And everything we've gotten is an under on that. Everybody's gone under. And Mike and I have a dinner bet on it. I didn't even bet against him. I just set the line. He hated my line so much, he bet against my line.
I thought your line got a little bit of hate. I think I first went over and then I switched to under, so I think that means it was a pretty good line, actually. Yeah. It's going to be great, though, when the under hits and they lose the Sixers in the first round.
That's right. They're going to lose four games and everybody's going to cash it. There are series that are established already. Obviously, the play-ins need to be played, but two in the East, two in the West. Where are your bets so far?
So the favorite bet I have, and I knew I was going to bet this a while ago, I like this Dallas Mavericks team. I think they figured something out. I like what they did at the trade deadline to add a second setter, add some size in there. And I love the shots that they can get at the end of shot clock, end of game. You've got Luka, who I think is playing phenomenally off the ball when you do have Kyrie Irving take over in certain situations. And it's really hard to defend both of these guys at the end of games, in clutch time, at the end of shot clocks. And then I look over the other side and I see the Clippers. And I don't know what I'm going to get from the Clippers at any point in any game. This is a situation where I think the Mavs should be a heavy favorite in this series. Right now, they're just -110. And by heavy, I'm talking like -140, -150, somewhere in that range. So I've got a decent price here on the Mavs. I also took a little Mavs in six. That's +360 as well. But the biggest bet for me, Mavs -110 to win the series against the Clippers.
Okay. And you like that better than you like your bet in the other series, which is the Orlando Magic.
I do like it better than the Magic one because I have some concerns around this Magic team. Look, defensively, wildly efficient, and that's really what their calling card has been. But unlike Dallas, they do struggle in the clutch to get very good shots offensively, and we'll see how they're able to do that against the Cleveland defense. It does have some size on the inside and can alter shots there. The big question for me here is Donovan Mitchell, and I don't think that he is fully healthy. We've seen him miss, I believe it's 15 of the last 21 games, and if you look at the Magic in the Cavs, when Mitchell went for 30 or more, the Cavs won both the games against the Magic. When he went for 22 and he didn't play, they lost both games against the Magic. And to me, that's going to be the key of this series is what can Mitchell do? Is Suggs going to be able to shut him down? And Suggs is one of the five best perimeter defenders in the NBA at this point. He is going to cause some trouble for Mitchell, especially if that knee is not 100%. And if that's the case, if we don't get every game with Donovan Mitchell, if we don't get 100% of Donovan Mitchell in these games, I think that the Magic are more likely to come out of this series. Right now, you're getting +165. I have offensive concerns with the Magic. It's why I don't like this one more than the Mavs. But I do think the Magic move on in this spot.
All right. We have one of the other series is the Suns-Timberwolves series, the 6-3 series out west, where the Suns are a tick of a favorite right now at DraftKings. You said you lean that way. You just haven't made the bet yet.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to the window on the Suns, and it's interesting because I mentioned the previous matchups with the Magic and with the Cavs. Those were a little while back. They weren't recent games. We've got recent memories here of this Suns team being able to take care of Minnesota. They played twice in April, but the Suns won both of those games, and Edwards struggled mightily there yesterday in the final game of the season. And Beal has actually played really well the last five or six games, and I don't know if I trust that Beal can keep this going, but what we wanted to see from this Suns team, we actually kind of saw down the stretch here. And so it feels like the Suns are playing better than what we're seeing from the Timberwolves right now. And it feels like the Suns kind of own them from a matchup perspective. We'll see what happens when we get into the first round here. But I lean toward the Suns here, -115, just haven't gotten to the window on it.
What potential series out of the play-ins, and maybe I should ask you about the play-ins themselves, if you have any thoughts on any of those games, East or West, but beyond that, what potential series would fascinate you the most? Would it be a Warriors-Thunder 8-1? Would it be a Sixers-Knicks 7-2 in the East? What would it be for you?
It's a lot about where New Orleans ends up here. If New Orleans ends up in the 8, which I wouldn't be shocked, I think that first matchup in the play-in against the Lakers is a tough one for New Orleans, especially with Ingram coming back and having to reintegrate him into the offense. If we end up with an OKC as the one seed, and we see New Orleans as the eight. I think that would be a fascinating series. Two teams that have a ton of talent. Valachunas would be a very tough matchup round one for Oklahoma City because of that size on the inside for New Orleans as well. So I think that would be a very interesting one. And then the 2-7 on the East, no matter if it's going to be Philadelphia or Miami, is going to be really interesting with a Knicks team that a little banged up. So we haven't seen Randall come back yet, but OG's back. He's been playing well. I think that 2-7 series in the East is going to be very interesting too.
Any play in play either West tomorrow or East on Wednesday?
I lean toward the Lakers taking on New Orleans here. They're catching one in that game. I have not gotten to the window on that one. I also think Philly is going to stop Miami. I like Philly laying the points.
All right. Massive NFL draft talk begins for us tomorrow. We will have multiple bets. Each Kelly and I will tomorrow. You have any bets in pocket that you love more than others?
I took Caleb Williams -500 first overall. Pretty happy where that's gone. I think that one's pretty safe. I bet Malik Nabers to be the second wide receiver -265 over the weekend. I don't understand where this is going with him going above Harrison or below Adunze. I think he's slotted into that second spot, and it's the cheapest price of those wide receiver markets.
Okay.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast hosts Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.